Well, this is the third week that I have been sharing some testimony under the title, Be Filled with the Spirit. And so I don't want to revisit too much other than to say we have seen from the Scripture that we are called to be filled over and over again with the Holy Spirit. We have also seen that the early church experienced a coming upon them with power by the Holy Spirit that was transformative in their lives. And so we want to create more hunger for more of Him, for more of His Spirit. Amen. Who can fathom the depths of God's Spirit? He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is all-powerful. And He is the very Spirit of the living God. And yet, we as believers can say, He lives and dwells within us. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, believer, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit has shed abroad God's love within your very heart. Now, just with those few verses we learned, we have a great God-given capacity to love. We have a great God-given capacity of power. We have a great God-given capacity of fullness. All of this is ours. And yet, are we living and seeing that manifest in our lives? The past couple of weeks have been wonderful here. Every Sunday's great, but the last 2 weeks, it's just been wonderful. There have been so many testimonies. And I'm hearing the testimonies of how God is stirring in people's hearts. I had several men who came up to me this morning saying, Pastor, I was on my knees when I got out of bed this morning praying as you asked. Thank you for doing that, man. Because ask and what? It'll be given. Right? A couple of Sundays ago, in the middle of my message, I just began to weep. I shared a little bit about that last week. Just a fountain of the deep was broken up with compassion. But God was just doing something and taking me back and reminding me of a treasured relationship with my dear brother, David Duncan. But then God was doing beyond that in the room. People started weeping. And I just want to step back into that for a moment and tell you that unseen to the rest of us, God was doing a number of things. We have a dear brother, Gary McFall, back here. And he was sharing this with me the night before you had a dream. Right, Gary? In the dream, he saw the following, the service the next day. He felt like the Lord showed him the service the next day, where the power of God began to move. People began to flood to the altars. And there was weeping. And a dear treasured relationship in his life, Susan, there. He said, and Susan was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, when Sunday morning came, he had not told her about the dream, but when they sat down, he sat down beside her, he told her, he said, now, the altars are going to be filled today with people weeping, and the Lord's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's before any of what happened. Well, when it broke out in the service and people started coming up and people were coming up for prayer, and Susan, I'm going to get you to raise your hand to testify to this. She's given me permission to share this. She is an RN, registered nurse, so she's very experienced in the medical field. She has struggled and suffered with heart failure for a while. She had been to specialists and told, did you not tell me you had like holes in the valves of your heart? Several. And The first time you mentioned this to me, you even mentioned about consideration of transplant, if it's going to come to something like that. Massive heart surgery was scheduled. She had to go to a specialist at UAB. Well, during the service, she came up for prayer. And the power of God hit her. She said it was like an iron rod that was like on fire, that was molten hot, that went at her at an angle in her chest and out the back. Is that correct? Burning. She said her thoughts at first were, I'm having a massive heart attack. I'm going to die here in church. Well, all right. But just burning, burning, burning. Her heart was burning. Pastor Doc came up, started praying for her. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. Started speaking in tongues. That following Thursday, she goes to UAB. They put her through 6 hours of test for her heart to schedule what needed to be done, the surgery and all that. After 6 hours, they come back and meet with her. Now, they had checked it a year before, and the doctor specialist, a cardiologist tech, had the test a year before. You said last summer, then again last fall. 3 sets of tests, all showing all these problems she had. Now she's at UAB at the specialist. He does his test, comes back. He looks at the test and says, we've done these tests, and there's nothing wrong with your heart. Give God the glory. And she got filled with the Holy Spirit to boot. Is that right, dear sister? We had another testimony of someone over here. I remember hearing a little of it. 17 years they had a problem. God healed them. It's gone. I've got a notepad on my phone of other testimonies. Just the last 2 weeks, I had a brother in the commons area said, during that service, the Lord started speaking to me about what you had experienced years ago, but there's a latter rain, a second move that's going to be, you know, the scripture talks about the latter rain greater than the former rain. And I believe God is stirring and moving hearts. He's wanting our faith level to increase. I believe today that the Lord is going to touch people. I'm going to be sharing a little testimony. I'm going to share some scriptures, testimony. And this testimony for us is that this is like 2 Sundays ago, God did this. Jesus still heals people today. I have seen the Lord heal hundreds of people. And I'm the first one to admit, I don't understand how all of it works. The Lord is our healer. What He's doing when all that's happening, all I can say, it is good and it is Him. And what's required of us is childlike faith. You see that all through the Scripture. I wanted to share this little glimpse into the life of Jesus and His ministry as the Messiah, Matthew 8:16. And after this is when they let the guy down through the roof. You know, and he gets healed and Jesus forgives him to demonstrate that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. This precedes it, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. In the ministry of Jesus, deliverance and healing were part of His ministry. Verse 17, why did He do that? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself, that is Jesus, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, before He went to the cross and took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, God was already confirming that He was going to do it. And we read in the book of Acts afterwards that God continued to confirm that Jesus is the Messiah by continuing to do it. We see that in Acts chapter, so many places, but let me just throw a couple at you that we've been studying on Wednesday the last couple of weeks. Acts chapter 8, verse 5, this is Philip, one of the seven who was filled with the Holy Spirit that was chosen to help the apostles as deacons. It says, Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now notice that. This is the first thing we notice. He is preaching Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ. He preached Christ to them. Church, we must never get away from preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's foundational. He preached Christ. Now notice. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. Why did they do that? Well, they're hearing the word preached and they're seeing the miracles which he did. What happened? Verse 7. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. If you continue to read that story, then Peter and John come up, the apostles lay hands on them. They were also filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a sorcerer by the name of Simon that believed. And he was so moved by what happened when the apostles laid hands on them, he went back for a moment to his old ways and offered them money because he wanted to be able to. That's how he operated spiritually before. People paid him money and he did sorcery for them. So he's saved, but he's not yet fully understanding how this operates. So he says, well, what? I'll pay for this. I want to do that. Because why? Because something was happening as they laid hands on those people. He had already heard and seen the miracles, but now when they laid hands on those people and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, this man who had been a sorcerer was so moved, he wanted that gift to operate in him. And so we see here, again, there's deliverance ministry, there's healing ministry taking place, and there was great joy in the city. So those four things, there was the preaching of Christ, there was the heeding of what they heard. Don't leave that out. They obeyed what they heard. As a result, they were saved. Then there were healings. There were deliverances taking place and great joy. All of that was taking place. So this is kind of a culture that we see in the life of the early church as they just went out ministering in the name of Jesus. Then in Acts chapter 9, we're introduced to Peter, who's going around to different places. He's doing what Philip did. He's checking on disciples at different places several years since the day of Pentecost. And he found a certain man named Aeneas who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. We don't know if he'd had a stroke. We don't know how paralyzed he was, if it was from the chin down or the torso down or the waist down or whatever. But for 8 years, he had not been able to get up and out of bed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Now, notice that. Jesus the Christ heals you. Who's ministering? Peter. Who's healing? Jesus. Okay? Now, I showed you earlier in Matthew 8 how Jesus was ministering healing to fulfill what Isaiah prophesied about the Christ. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That was before Jesus died on the cross. Now Jesus has died on the cross. He was buried, raised from the dead on the third day, ascended to the Father. Pentecost has come. And yet, a few years later, here is Peter still ministering and says, Jesus Christ heals you. See, he's still healing. He's still healing. I find no credential in the Scripture anywhere with enough strength to suggest to us that we should not expect Jesus to do today what he did before he died on the cross and what he continued to do after he died on the cross. But I do find scriptures like that Jesus gave us before he ascended. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He said, these signs will follow those that believe. And he said, in my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. They'll speak new tongues. They drink anything poison. They'll take up serpents and so forth. And he goes on to say, Mark ends that chapter 16 with saying, and the disciples went out, and the Lord was working in their midst, confirming the word with signs following. Matthew said, Jesus said, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age, that is, till he returns. He hasn't returned. He's still with us. He's still doing what he did before he died on the cross, and what he continued to do through the church after he died on the cross, and he will continue to do that until he returns. Okay, just laying some scriptural foundation here. Now, again, here's Peter. He goes down the road to Joppa, and there's a woman by the name of Tabitha who died. She's called Dorcas in the Greek. And Peter gets there and puts everybody out of the room, it says, but Peter put them out and knelt down and prayed. Now notice, there's a dead woman laying in the room. Everybody else has been vacated. And Peter gets down on his knees and he's praying. What's he doing? I believe he's following Jesus in John 5. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. So Father, what do you want to do here? He felt faith arise. He turned to the body, it said. And he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Those were the folks that were there mourning her when Peter arrived. He put them out of the room. He calls them back in the room and says, here she is, and she was alive. Verse 42. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. These last two stories, we see that Luke adds, like when the man who was paralyzed was healed, it said all the city at Lydda, all of them came to know the Lord. And here, many believed on the Lord. The Lord still wants to do things like he did for Susan to point people to him. He still wants to do things like he did for Susan because Isaiah's prophecy is still true. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. The Bible teaches that not only did he bear our sins in his body on the tree, but he bore took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And so, it's always the right thing to do to go to the Lord for healing. Now, the Lord can get his healing to us in different ways. And I'm not a preacher. It's against doctors and nurses. Thank God for them. There are people sitting here worshiping Jesus this morning because God used the doctors and nurses. Amen. Believe that with all my heart. But there are times that he will stretch forth his hand and manifest his power and his glory in these miraculous ways. And we should expect that. We should pray to that end. Okay, I'm going to go on by that, and I want to share just some testimony this morning. The last two Sundays I've shared with you about how God was dealing with me. I'd been pastoring almost 15 years and then was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I got filled last Sunday in my testimony, but I want to pick up from there. After I got back home, God began to just speak to me with clarity that I had never realized before in my life. I just started hearing the Lord's voice with more clarity than I'd ever heard. I wouldn't have been able to say that the Lord had never led me or spoke to me, because He had. But it's like the volume was turned up, the clarity was more amplified, and it seemed like more often and more easily, and with expectation, I expected to hear the Lord speaking to me. I remember during this time when I'm just enthralled by, like, the night I was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord was asking me questions, and it was later when I thought back on what happened that I realized the Lord had just been talking directly to me, just like I'm talking to you. I'm hearing this internally, but we're carrying on this conversation, but in the middle of what was happening was so powerful, I didn't even realize that aspect of it. And that continued after that when I got home. I remember one day, a Sunday or two after, when I was preparing a message, and I was pulling out commentaries and stuff, and I was studying, and I said, Lord, I feel like there's just something I'm missing here. And then I thought, well, He's been asking me questions. I'm going to ask Him a question. I said, Lord, is there something here in my library that might help me? He named a book. And I looked, and I found that book, and I pulled it out. Then I thought, well, I'm going to take another step. Lord, can You tell me what page it's on? And as my witness, I heard a page number. I turned to that page, and at the top of that page was exactly the verse I was studying to preach on and some information that was helpful to me. Now, He could have told me directly, but it just increased my faith. Just like children, when they're learning to talk, they're repeating what Daddy and Mama says, and they learn to distinguish our voice among all others. And that's the way our walk with the Lord is. And so it just things begin to transpire like that. As a matter of fact, I'd had a congenital heart problem from birth called Wolf Parkinson's White Syndrome that resulted in my heart immediately just going from normal to like almost 200 beats a minute, and sometimes more, sometimes a little lower, and it might go on for hours. I've had to go to the hospital a number of times and them to give me some medicine to get it back. I'd had hundreds of episodes of WPW, and during that time, I was on medication, they had to change medications over the years. I was diagnosed at 16. That's when I realized I'd had this all my life, because it just happened. And finally, it was happening one day. My mom, who had become a nurse, she came in I was home from football practice. She said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Well, I'm just waiting for my heart to slow down." She said, "What do you mean, waiting for your heart to slow down?" I said, "Well, you know, it's just going real fast, like it always does when I exercise or whatever, and I'm just waiting." She said, "Well, it shouldn't do that. I didn't think anything about it." She checked it, and she said, "We got to get you to the doctor," and that's when I was diagnosed. So, during this time, I found myself studying a book by a man named Charles Capp called The Creative Power of the Tongue. A little small book, and the Lord's just feeding my soul, and while I'm reading that book, and it really encouraged me just to take God at His word for healing. And when I'm reading that book, I heard the Lord say, "I'll heal your heart if you'll believe me." And I said, "Okay, Lord, I believe you." And I don't recommend you to do what I did, because I did it. But at that time, I knew that I didn't feel like I needed any medication. I went 6 years without an episode after that. The Lord just touched me. Later, I got into a period when I was under a lot of stress, and it came back, and I ended up having to have a surgical procedure. But I had a 6-year window there just from taking the Lord at His word. But the major change come in the area of healing for me when I had one of my friends — I'm still pastoring at the Baptist church — one of my friends who attended there came to me and said, "I want to ask you to go with me to a meeting. There's this man by the name of Kim Clement. He's a prophet." And by that time, I'm beginning to accept, well, there are prophets today. You know, all of this is kind of new for me. And And also, I'd committed, I'm not going to make any decisions unless I get clearance from the Lord to make that. And I said, well, brother, I said, that sounds exciting. I don't know who he is, but if you think it's important, I will pray about it. And so I did. I just prayed, Lord, my brother and actually two of my brothers there are going to Detroit, Michigan to this meeting with a man named Kim Clement. Do you want me to go? And I was surprised, and I prayed just about like that, just real simple, just like I'm talking to you, I was talking to the Lord, and just like that I heard him say, yes, I want you to go. And it startled me, but how clear it was. And I said, well, Lord, do you mind if I ask you why? Why do you want me to go? And he said, if you go, you're going to enter into a realm of healing. And I remember saying, you mean there's more realms? Because I've just been filled with the Holy Spirit just like 3 months earlier. And I'm like, you mean there's more? And I said, well, Lord, I want to make sure this is you. So I'm willing to go. So there's a yes in my heart. I'll go. But I want to ask you to confirm it to me. Confirm this is you. I left it with that. That was like on Tuesday or Wednesday. And so continue to pray throughout the week. And they're asking, are you going to go or not? I said, well, I'll let you know in just a few days. And we had service the following Sunday morning. When I came back to church that night, Sunday evening, when I went into my office and went into where my study was, there was my computer and the printer. And I noticed a page had been printed out on the printer. Well, I found that strange because, you know, I'd printed my notes off on Friday and I hadn't printed anything else. And here's something printed. I pulled it out. I don't know how it got printed. I pulled up the page and it was just a scripture, a single scripture that was printed on this by my printer in my office. And like, other than the custodian, I'm the only one that had the key to it. And I wasn't in there, and I didn't do it. And this was the scripture, Zechariah 6:8. And he called to me and spoke to me, saying, see, those who go toward the north country have given rest to my spirit in the north country. Now, when Zechariah wrote that, it didn't have anything to do with Detroit, Michigan. Okay, nothing. Didn't have nothing to do. But I had asked the Lord, I want you to confirm whether you want me to go to Detroit, Michigan. You know, I'm going to enter in this new realm in the Spirit. It's going to be healing. And there's no scripture in the whole of God's Word that would more succinctly answer that question than this one. Now, that's not what Zechariah meant. But I knew when I read it that the word the Lord gave Zechariah had now become a word for me out of context for Zechariah, but very much in context for my circumstance. Because there's one thing for sure, if you live in Alabama, when you go to Detroit, you're going to the north, right? That's the north country. And so I'm just in my office, and it took me a moment to realize, where did this come from? And then I remembered what I'd asked the Lord, and I thought, oh my goodness. Okay, Lord, I'll go. And I went home and I called my brother. I said, I'll go with you guys. Booked the flight. Didn't tell anybody else. We kind of secretly flew out. You know, this was about a couple of weeks later. Flew out. We flew in one day. Went to a service that night and flew back the next, we flew back the next day and came back home. All right. I go to this service, and I'm thinking, wow, I remember the last time I went to one of these services. I mean, I got empowered with the Holy Spirit, and it's just, you know, I started seeing angels in my room, and I shook for days, and I'm like, man, I wonder what's going to happen. I mean, we got us a hotel room, and we three guys were in a hotel room, and the best way we knew how, we were practicing trying to get words of knowledge. I know that sounds silly, but we're just wanting to learn. How does this work? What do you do when God speaks to you? How do you use this? How are you led by the Holy Spirit? Because I'm becoming open now. I'm reading the book of Acts, and now it's alive to me, and I can say, yeah, I saw that. Woo, that happened to me. and I'm just cranked up. So we get ready, we get there early, and we go into this service, get us a pretty good seat, and right there in the middle, about 10 or 12 rows back, and we're sitting there and just taking it in, and I'm wondering, oh, what are they going to do? And say, I've done learned what ministry time is now. That's when you go up and somebody prays for you, and I'm ready. Well, I've never been in such a service in all my life. Now, I've been in some sense that stretch you out like Gumby, you know? But this was different. So I got there, they came out, and this man named Kim Clement, he came out with jeans and a t-shirt, had hair down to about right here. That's fine, no judgment. But I'm just telling you what it was like. He comes out, he gets on the piano, and I mean, he's playing that thing, and they're singing, and they had a band, they had a bass player. He was slapping that plank, and it was just, the house was rocking. They had a choir of young people, had blue jeans and black t-shirts. And on their t-shirts, they just had the initials, KDBG. All of them, except one guy in the middle had a black t-shirt that said, Satan sucks. So, I'm just repeating what I read off a t-shirt, okay? In inner city Detroit, Michigan, with a bunch of people that were fanatics for Jesus Christ. And so, I'm sitting there by someone I don't really know, and I turned and I said, what's that KDBG mean? Well, I kind of wish I hadn't asked. They said, oh, that means kick devil's butt generation. So that was the service I found myself in. I mean, it was rocking out, and I enjoyed it, and it stretched me to no end, because during their worship, one time, that little guy with the Satan sucks t-shirt, it was like the Lord put his fingertip on the top of his head and just started spinning him like a top. If you've watched the Olympics, the ice skating when they do that thing, he was spinning. I don't know how in the world he stayed on the stage, and neither do I know how he was able to stand up straight when he finished. I later learned that that was one of the Hebrew words for praise, to spin like a top. Well, I'm telling you, that boy was praising God like nobody I've ever seen. Well, message was good. They didn't really have much of a ministry time, and the service came to a close, and they dismissed. And I'm thinking, well, okay, I came. It stretched me. That was one of the reasons the Lord sent me. He wanted to stretch me way out there so that when I come back to where I was, we could go right here and that wouldn't be a big deal. He does us that way, you know? He's doing that here now, the last few weeks. You see, we have to realize, those of us who have been in this a while, for some people it's the first time. And how awesome that is. How holy it is. How beautiful it is. How powerful it is. So the service was over. Now, the pastor of the church had gotten up and said a few words, so I realized who the pastor was. The service was over. The people on the stage, they went out, I guess, to the green room area, and I saw the pastor going over that way, and I thought, you know, I have flown all the way up here. The Lord told me if I'd come, I would enter into a new realm, and I said, I feel like somebody's got to pray for me, so I take the hypotenuse across the room, and I cut off the pastor. And I could tell he was trying to, you know, get kind of going his way, and I just kind of stepped in front of him. I said, sir, I come here from Alabama. I pastor in Alabama, and the Lord told me if I'd come, I'd enter into a realm of healing with him, and I was just wondering if you could pray for me. I mean, I was just eager, and I was hungry, and I was desperate, and he just kind of like, well, okay, and he put his hands on me, and he prayed for me. I didn't feel a thing, but I did that by faith. The Lord, this is all I know to do. I mean, I didn't feel any different or anything. Don't get hung up on needing to have a feeling. Things in the spirit world operate by faith. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit is one of faith. Our relationship with Jesus, you got saved by faith, not by feeling. If you're banking your salvation on a feeling, you might want to check that out. But if you're standing on faith in the finished work of Jesus who bore your sins on the cross, you're in good place. So, flew back home. Then I think late that afternoon, next morning I get up and I'm back in my office. Nobody's really known I've gone anywhere. And I'm back in the office. And one of our ladies comes in, older ladies, comes in and it's in the office and I was talking to her and she was struggling with some sinus stuff. And I thought, well, you know, I said, well, sister, won't you come in here? And I closed the door and put it in my little reception area. And I said, Miss Edna, would it be all right if I just pray for you? I said, you know, and by that time I'm carrying a bottle of anointing oil. And I said, you know, the Bible says if you're sick, you know, call for the elders of church, let them anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and prayer of faith to save the sick. And she said, I said, would that be all right if I just did that and prayed for you? She said, yeah, I guess that's all right. I prayed for her. And when I prayed for her, she kind of swooned a little bit. And she said, oh, my goodness. She said, I'm already feeling better. I said, why did we ever stop doing that kind of thing? Well, we shared pleasantries and she left, but then the secretary rang my phone at my desk and I picked it up. And I said, hello. She said, Brother Eddie. She said, this is Miss Sharon. The Lord told me if you would come to my house today and pray for me, I will be healed. And that's the way she talked. And I said, well, okay, dear sister. I said, I'll come. And told her, I told her when I could get there, hung up. And I remember hanging that phone up and looking up and saying, well, Lord, I'm going to find out now if that was you that spoke to me about going to Detroit. You see, Miss Sharon, let me tell you about Miss Sharon. The first week I had become her pastor 3 years earlier from the date of that phone call. She and her husband came into my office, sat down in my office with me, and bless her little heart, she sat there on that couch and she looked at me and she said, Dr. Lawrence, she said, the Lord told me that He wants to give you a gift of healing. And I sat there. Now, I'm like, this is like my third day on the job. And I'm just getting to know my congregation. And I said, well, I appreciate that, dear sister. I should have stopped right there. I said, I appreciate that, dear sister. But I'm sure if the Lord wants to do that, He'll be sure to tell me. Arrogant. Prideful. And so, got to know them. They went their way. Miss Sharon was born with a severe case of spina bifida. She had had lots of problems throughout her life. At this time, I would imagine she was around 50 years of age, something like that, maybe a little older, 55, so. At that time, she had metal bright sleeves and canes on each hand like this. She had metal braces on both legs, and she walked around like this with those crutches and braces. At one time, she had been in a full body cast for 12 months trying to help her. She regularly was in the hospital going to the doctor with excruciating pain because of the curvature of her spine, the problems she had. So, 3 years after, she told me, and I kind of smugly replied, she calls and said, "The Lord said, if you would come and pray for me today, I would be healed." So I said, "Lord, we're going to find out." I called one of my brothers that had gone to Detroit with me that was part of the church there. Told him what I was going to do. "Would you go with me? I need a witness to go with me." He came. We went over to her house. We walked into her house, into her living room. And her husband and she greeted us. And I said, "Well, I've come to pray. I got my anointing oil and anointed her with the oil." And I said, "Let's just pray a few moments." And while we were praying, the Lord gave me a couple of words of knowledge. Some very specific things related to she had a twin sister. Something that had happened when they were just very, very young. Come to find out it was a very tragic thing. Led her through some prayers. And I said, "Well, I think I'm not getting anything else we need to deal with before we pray. And so it's time to pray." So we began to pray, you know, just simple prayers. "Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, we come against this spina bifida. Pray that you'd straighten my sister's spine. I pray that your healing anointing would come upon her and make her well and whole." Just praying. All of a sudden she said, My feet, they're tingling. My feet, they're tingling." And then she just moved around there on the couch. A minute, she looked at her husband. She said, "Hey, help me take these off." So he peeled these metal sleeves and crutches off of her arms. Then peeled those metal braces off of both of her legs. And she said, "Help me stand up." She got to her feet. And she started crying. She said, "I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed." We start weeping, crying, rejoicing. We're just having a party, a Jesus party. Crying happy tears of joy. Just crying. In a little bit, she told her husband, "Open that door." It was the door that went out to the driveway, out of the room we were in. And she went over there where the threshold was. She said, "I hadn't got to do this since I was a little girl." And she jumped over that threshold, went out into the driveway, jumping up and down. We went out there, we're hugging. We spent a little time there. And my buddy and I finally said, we just praise God. We've got to go now. We got in our car. And I drove out the driveway, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and I told my brother, I said, "I want you to look." He turned around. She had both hands in the air like this, just running circles in her driveway. It's one of the most powerful things that I'd ever seen in my life to that time. God healed her. I don't know all that was involved in that other than Jesus loved on that woman, answered her prayer. But the Lord showed me later, you see, it took a lot of courage for her to walk into her pastor's office with his degrees and all these books, knowing his conservative theological background, to sit there and look him in the eye and said, "The Lord wants to give you a gift of healing." Because at that moment, that's almost like that's just nonsense. 3 years later, the Lord gave her harvest for that seed she planted. So you never know the full story of what your one step of obedience might lead to. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, after that, I could spend the next 2 hours just telling you stories of what happened over the next couple of years that I remained there at that church. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't He, Susan? Now, I wonder if we could take God at His Word this morning, and those of you who are sick, those of you who have pain in your body, if we could just press into this believing. And again, listen, I'm being honest as I can be when I say this. I know a lot of people, they have the package all neat and tied, just how it works and how it's got to work, and if you do this. I'm not to that point yet. I just know that if we'll do what Jesus said to do and trust Him, it's amazing what He can do. I don't need to, cliches aren't going to help us. Or having everything just kind of neatly. What we need to do, we need a childlike faith that calls on the name of the Lord. The same faith, the kind of faith that you used when you got saved. That's the way you use faith to receive healing. Or whatever you need. Most of us didn't understand the theological implications and the depths involved in the sacrificial atonement of Jesus on the cross when we got saved. But what we did realize that inside we knew we needed God, that we didn't measure up. And now the Lord's throwing a life preserver to me by the name of Jesus Christ who can save me from the sin I'm drowning in. And it worked, didn't it? You don't have to have all the I's dotted and T's crossed of how all that works out. Just believe God. Believe God. Peter said, Jesus Christ heals you. I decree and declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that He is still our healer. And even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and people looked at that serpent and they were healed, today when people look to Jesus, they can get saved. When people look to Jesus, they can get healed. When people look to Jesus, they can get delivered. When people look to Jesus, they can be made whole. When people look to Jesus, they can find the answer for their problems. When people look to Jesus, whatever they really need, He is more than able to supply. He said you can come with confidence into His throne room of grace, and there you'll find grace and you'll find mercy to help you in your time of need. Will you call on Him for what you need this morning? I want to ask you to stand with me. Our worship team is coming. And I want to ask our prayer team members, particularly those that have been coming to our Saturday morning of healing, just come up here in this altar and be ready to pray for people. Father, we are asking You this morning that there would be a Luke chapter 5 anointing where it says the Lord was there present to heal. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are in our midst. And we just ask for a manifestation of Your healing anointing. Lord, that gifts of healing would flow, that faith for healing would flow, that Your Holy Spirit would move upon this people. We take authority over all sickness, all disease, all ailments, all illness. We declare that Jesus Christ took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses in His body on the tree. We declare, Lord Jesus, You are the Son of Righteousness that has risen with healing in Your wings. So we position ourselves under Your loving, tender, healing mercies. We declare, Lord Jesus, that by Your stripes, the scourging You endured, we are healed. We are made whole. We declare this morning there's salvation in this house, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We declare that those who are hungry for more, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to be healed, you want to be delivered, and most of all, if you want to be saved, today is the day for it. Just come right now with hearts to receive, hearts to receive,
hearts to receive. And as we begin this time of ministry, listen, you just feel free to linger, press in with us, but we will never have wrong feelings towards somebody. If you need to leave, you've got other commitments, you need to go. We don't want you to ever feel hostage, okay? So you be free. Be free to worship. Be free to come forward. Be free to do what you need to do today. We're just asking God to touch folks here today. Heal folks here today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. We're going to begin to worship now. Let's just press in to all that the Lord has for us in this service. And if you're in good shape, pray for someone up here who's needing their breakthrough, that's needing their miracle, that's needing their healing. Don't delay. And I'm just going to move from person to person. I want to join those who are praying for you as well.